I am thrilled to be here this morning because this series for me has been really profound, and I've been seeing things in Proverbs that I've never seen before, which is really interesting. You know, you read through the Bible, you study it, you go to school for it, but then you read through it again a couple of years later, you read a portion that you haven't read in a while, or for me, we're doing this, I was just talking to Joe about this, we're doing our Proverb a Day Challenge, where we're reading through a chapter of Proverbs every single day. One of the things that I've been doing differently as I've been reading Proverbs this time through, I've been using a different translation. So oftentimes, if you follow on Instagram the different line or proverb that I'm quoting for the day, it's from a different translation that I've never used before, from Michael Fox's translation. And just the way that a different translator gets at the text and interprets the Hebrew, it just shines light on something from a different perspective. And it's been opening my eyes to all sorts of things. And here we are at week four, and I had said, well, I'm going to do 7 weeks. And it's like, oh my goodness, can I really contain it all into 7 weeks of Proverbs? And we will. We'll get there. But the amount of wisdom that's packed into this book, I mean, we could really go through Proverbs. I mean, we could spend a year in Proverbs. I'm loving it. I hope you are enjoying it. I hope that you are seeing things that maybe you haven't seen before in Proverbs. My prayer is that you are growing in wisdom, that you're growing in your desire to grow in wisdom as well. That's where wisdom begins. May you desire it. So my prayer is that as we've been looking through this book, that you are desiring to grow in the wisdom that is freely being offered to you, because it's always there, as we saw in the first week. Now this morning, our sermon is titled, The Tension of Wisdom. This is another good one. Let's start Proverbs 26, verse 4. Here's a proverb. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Good wisdom to live by, right? Okay, what's the next verse say? Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Two proverbs side by side, one following the other, which raises the question. So when I interact with a fool, I'm to be quiet. I'm to answer him. Come on, Proverbs, offer me a little more something concrete here. Offer me something that I can actually know exactly what to do. Here's another proverb in Proverbs 10:15. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. The wealth of the rich. It's like a city. All the walls are up, the guards are there, the wealth is protecting them. Here's Proverbs 11:4. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, which raises another question for us. So wealth protects me, or it doesn't protect me? Is Proverbs telling me that I'm supposed to seek wealth and do everything I can to attain as much as I possibly, or is it telling me, don't worry about that, because in reality, it's worthless? Or how about this? Proverbs 14:23, in all striving, there is profit, but mere talk just leads to neediness. So in all striving, there is profit. And then Proverbs 10 says this, the Lord's blessing is what makes one rich, and striving adds nothing more. So I'm to strive? Come on, Proverbs. You're telling me I'm to strive because there's profit in all striving? Or you're telling me, yeah, no matter how much you strive, nothing more is going to be added. It's really predetermined. Whatever God is freely going to bless you with, well, it's already yours. Is there profit, or is striving a waste of my time? Now, these are just a few examples of the tension of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. Maybe we might call these contradictions, which then, the more of these you see, maybe you're asking a question like, okay, well, if Proverbs, which is in the Bible, and if Proverbs are a part of the Bible, if that's not clear, well, then how is there any hope for me? Because if the Bible can't get it right, how am I supposed to get it right? I'm reading the Bible because I want to understand who God is. I'm reading the Bible because I want to understand who Jesus is and how Jesus is calling me to live my life. But if I'm now reading the Bible and it's telling me, strive, don't, you're like a squirrel or like a dog chasing a squirrel with his head like every which direction. In one moment, you're being told here. In the next moment, you're being told to go here. how could there possibly be any hope for us in understanding what in the world this interesting, complex, ambiguous book is telling us to do. Let me introduce you to an ancient Greek philosopher, Epictetus. Anyone reading Epictetus this morning? Ancient Greek philosopher. There's a story about him. It goes like this. One of his students comes up to him and says, "Tell me what to do. I want the answer. I want to know. I'm facing something in my life. I need some wisdom right now. Can you please just provide a map for me? Can you offer me a blueprint so that I know exactly what to do with my life in every single moment?" How does he respond? "It would be better, dear student, to say, make my mind adaptable to any circumstances." Ooh, that's some wisdom right there. Tell me what to do. That's not what you really want. You don't want to be told what to do, because then you will forever be dependent upon this teacher or upon someone else telling you exactly how to live your life. What you want is you want to be empowered, which is exactly what Proverbs is attempting to do for you. I believe empowerment is how God desires for you to live. You have been given wisdom. You have been offered knowledge. The Spirit is with you in order to make your mind adaptable to every single experience in life that you will face. I looked up the definition of wisdom. I was curious. We've been talking about wisdom now for a couple of weeks, but I hadn't gone to the dictionary. Here's the second part of the definition of wisdom. The soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Key word here, application. Wisdom is applying that which is already within you. It doesn't help to simply just have all the right answers. You have to, in some way, begin to act on the knowledge, on the experience that you have gone through. Back in the beginning, I think it was after the first week of our wisdom series, we were at community group, and we were talking about, okay, well, I think the question was, what are the different ways in which you have personally gained wisdom? We had one person, I won't call them out, we had one person who said, "Hey, you know how I've gained wisdom quite a bit in my life? Learning by failure, by getting it wrong." Wisdom, the application or the soundness of an application with regard to previous experience. Previous times in which we've gotten it wrong, and yet we have now learned from it. there's this phrase, I don't know why I remember this phrase, maybe you've heard it before. Fool me once, shame on, wait, what is it? Wait, fool, I wrote it down actually, hold on. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I love that, right? Because it's about growth. It's about learning. You can be fooled once. Okay, that's your bad. But if I'm continuing to fall into the same trap again and again, well, now I'm not learning from my experience. I'm not executing wisdom in my life. So when we come upon Proverbs 26, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him, or answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." Answer a fool or don't answer a fool. What's the answer? Yes. And how will you know exactly what to do in that moment? Through your experience. Through the knowledge that you have gained. By exercising good judgment in that particular moment. I was talking with Reese the other day. He just turned 6. He was trying to convince me of something that I knew just wasn't true. And he was like, "Yes, Dad, it's true." I'm like, "Reese, no, it's not true." He goes, "Yes, Dad, it's true. Reese, it's not true. Yes, Dad, it's true. Reese." And I thought to myself, why am I having this conversation right now? It's going to make both of us extremely frustrated. And I said, "Okay, Reese, it's okay. Don't worry about it." Because I knew that was an unproductive conversation. And now that's with the 6-year-old, and whatever, no harm with that particular experience right there. But have you ever been in a conversation with someone before who is just convinced that they're right and you know that they're wrong, but they are deeply, deeply committed to what they believe or what they think is right? And you get into that conversation and it's just spiraling down and it's not moving in a good direction. And each person, you dig your heels in and then you both walk away really angry. Don't answer a fool or you yourself will become just like him. The peace that you had going into that conversation has now been stolen from you. Because in that moment, the wisdom was to just kind of nod your head and walk away. Think about conversations with family members, about politics, about religion, or some other deeply important matters. Sometimes it's better just to say, we're going to disagree. Let's both decide we are not going to talk about this because it's not going to end well and it is going to disrupt our relationship. And honestly, that's not the best thing for each of us because we both desire peace. And so in that particular moment, you know, this is unproductive. It's not going to go anywhere. I'm going to be dragged down. And so I am going to keep my mouth shut. But then there are other times when you need to make a stand because there's something that is wrong. There's harm that is being done to you. Someone keeps saying the same thing to you again and again, and it is wearing you down. It's beating you down, and you have had enough of it. And it doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter if you're fired, if your relationship ends. You just can't take the beating anymore. And so you need to stand up and answer that fool. And you need to hold firm to what you believe, or you need to hold firm to your value that is being taken from you. So in some instances, we're to keep our mouth shut, but in other instances, we are to open our mouth wide and to take a stand. How will you know what to do? Wisdom, past experience, knowledge, good judgment. Proverbs is empowering you to make the wise decision in that particular moment you find yourself in. So sometimes, yeah, you don't answer and you walk away. And then in other times, you answer because that's the wisdom for that particular moment. I'm reading a book called Boundless Parenting. And here's how the author Ben Greenfield describes the journey of parenting, which I think beautifully describes the journey of life. Through slow and painful lessons, I began to slowly understand that parenting, or let's substitute the word life, isn't like following a recipe to bake a cake, programming logical sequences to create software, or navigating a roadmap from point A to point B. Instead, parenting, or life, it's more like hacking your way with a machete to the top of a mountain, following a meandering, zigzagging path that is littered with confusing signs, sweating and crawling along the way while wondering whether you have sufficient food and water, whether you're anywhere near the right path, or whether you're even on the right mountain. Life ever feel that way for you? Yeah. I love this description right here. When I read that, I was like, ooh, yeah, this is great. Is that how I feel? Am I on the right mountain? Am I following the right path? Proverbs, the wisdom in Proverbs is trying to get us on that right path, but at times it's confusing, especially when you come across these contradictory Proverbs where there's some that are saying, do this, and then it says the exact opposite of it. You're confused, and you have to figure out in the moment what is the right decision to make. If Proverbs is not a recipe for life, or if it's not a step-by-step guide for how to live, what is Proverbs providing? And I came up with what I think is the best picture of what the book of Proverbs is all about. You ready for it? No. Okay, here we go. A tool belt. I have a friend who's a carpenter. Whenever he comes and does work at the house, I'll often help him. And he'll tell me, hey, go out to the truck and go get this tool. He was there the other week and he said, hey, I need a screwdriver. Okay, great. Is it a flathead? Or is it a Phillips head? Well, and then I found out not only do they have flat, Phillips, and however many other different types of screwdrivers there are, but there's different numbers associated depending on how big the screwdriver itself is. He's like, no, I don't need a 2. I need a 1. What do you mean a 1? I just thought it was like flat or Phillips. Like, so sometimes in life you need a screwdriver. Sometimes in life you need a hammer. Sometimes you need pliers. Sometimes you need that really, like, think about your glasses. I see some of us are wearing glasses this morning. I wear glasses as well. You ever take it back to LensCraft or back to the eye doctor and they had that really, really small little screwdriver? Well, that's not going to help when you're trying to unscrew the cabinets off your kitchen wall. You need a bigger screwdriver. What Proverbs is teaching us is when to use a screwdriver. And then what do you need, a delicate screwdriver in the moment? You need a sledgehammer in this particular experience. So for me, I'm equating the book of Proverbs with a tool belt. All different types of tools depending on the situation that you find yourself in. I found this proverb when I was doing my daily reading, Proverbs 17, Michael Fox's translation. Wisdom is before the face of the perceptive man, while the eyes of the dolt or the fool are in the ends of the earth. Perceptive is the Hebrew word bin. Here's another way in which we could translate this sentence. Wisdom is in front of the one who discerns, the one who is attentive. Wisdom is in front of the observant. How is wisdom found? By keeping your eyes open. I love this proverb. It's right in front of you. If you are perceptive, if you are attentive to your life and to what's happening around you, if you're observant, the wisdom that you're looking for in the moment, it's right there in front of you. While the fool is just kind of walking around trying to find their path. You ever lose something and you're just sort of, I don't know where I put, and you're looking all over the place and you look really confused, or you've seen someone else, they've lost something and you're like, whoa, what are they, where are they going? Wisdom is right in front of the perceptive. You keep your eyes open, you keep your ears open. The wisdom you're looking for in the moment will be provided for you. Ooh, this one, one of my favorite proverbs that I found in this current reading of it. So let's think about this. The wealth of the rich is in their fortified city. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. How do we make sense of this idea of wealth in the book of Proverbs? One commentator, he has said this, wealth, it's the Hebrew word Han, not to be confused with Han Solo. And half the times that Han is used in Proverbs, the Proverbs speak about its value. The other half, wealth in Proverbs, it's a warning against trusting in wealth. I find that so fascinating. Half the times, wealth is something that is of value to you, but the other half, it's something that you got to be careful with. Because there are dangers associated with wealth. Here's what I think Proverbs is doing. It invites us to inspect our relationship with money. So a few questions. Are we being wise with how we spend? With how we save our money? With what we give away? How much do we spend, do we save, do we give away? Where do we spend our money? Are we putting too much focus on our money? Placing it at the center of our lives? Are we neglecting to consider, on the other hand, how we might need money in the future? See, only you can answer which proverb will guide you in the moment you find yourself in. Half the proverbs about wealth, yeah, there's value in it. The other half, be very, very careful. It invites us to inspect our lives and our relationship with money. What about this? In all striving, there is profit. Striving adds nothing. Again, what is our relationship with work? Are we using our God-given talents, gifts, and abilities to bless the creation that we are a part of? Or are we hiding those gifts away? How are we pursuing the best of who we are in service to the world? Yeah, there's a benefit in work, in providing, in helping those around us. But are we overworking? Are we striving to achieve something that really isn't ours? Do we have ample time for rest, for family, friends, exercise, etc.? Are we too invested in leisure? Are we spending too much time on the couch? Again, just like wealth or answering a fool, only you can answer which proverb will guide you in this moment. Proverbs isn't just giving you, okay, here you go. Here's the recipe. Here's the blueprint. Here's the answer for you. But rather, it's empowering you. I think this is how God treats us as well. God desires us to be empowered in our lives. I've heard one person say, God is not a helicopter parent, moving us like a piece on the chessboard. Okay, go this way, and now this way, and this way. We have free will, and God desires for us to use that free will in ways which are wise, which are best for us and for the creation, the world that we are a part of. Only you can answer. So Proverbs now, it invites us to look inside of ourselves. How are we living? How are we being called to live? And what's the wisdom? What's the next step for me to take in this moment? Jeff interviewed him with a video interview a couple of weeks ago. He had this quote from Blaise Pascal: all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. We don't just read Proverbs and then check it off our list. All right, great. I did my reading. Got some wisdom up here in my head. But rather, we're now to sit. That's why if there's something that jumps out at you, there's a reason why. It's like flagging you down. Like, hey, there's wisdom. There's something calling out to you in this moment. And you are now being invited to pause, to inspect that a little bit more, to figure out, okay, why is this calling to me? So the invitation of Proverbs, as we've said, is to carry around with you a tool belt wherever you go. Now let's make this really, really practical for us this morning. Every single week, I wanted to have a practical component of it. How do we grow in wisdom? Basically, the question I've been asking at the end of every single sermon. How do we grow in wisdom? Here's the way in which we do it for this week. You grow your toolkit. Look at these two toolkits. One's pretty useless. Imagine showing up at a job site with that belt. People are going to be like, are you here to help? Or are you just going to stand around and you bought all the expensive material, all the expensive parts. Like you look the role, but you're actually missing all the tools that are supposed to be placed in that belt. How do we grow in wisdom? We grow our toolkit. So instead of just a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips head screwdriver, you get some of the smaller ones. You get some of the screwdrivers that are a little bit wider, that can handle jobs differently that the little screwdrivers couldn't handle. I mentioned this book, Boundless Parenting. Here's what I find. I had no idea. So I've been following Ben Greenfield for a while, and he just recently came out with this book. And normally, if there's authors that I follow, I will pre-order their book before even I know what the book is about. That's just who I am. So I opened up the book, and what I found out is that this is about a 650-page book. It's not just his writings. So he has a big portion in the book, but what he did for this parenting book, it is really, really unique because he invited about 37 or 38 other parents to contribute to the book. And here's what he did. Why not create a list of all the questions that I am asked about parenting, all the questions I personally have about parenting, all the questions I think should be asked more about parenting, and then get answers to those questions from folks whom I truly respect, admire, or look up to in the parenting department. And so I did. So what this book is, about 38 chapters of a whole bunch of different parents and the wisdom that they have gained through their parenting experience. Anyone familiar with Tim Ferriss? He has two books, Tribe of Mentors and Tools of Titans. Very same way in which he wrote those books. He's a podcaster, and so he pulled the best little snippets, the best wisdom from the podcast that he had with his different guests, and then he put those into a book. So what you have is you have this massive book filled with nuggets of wisdom from many, many different people. How do you grow your toolkit? You gather your mentors. So think about your life right now. We all need wisdom somewhere. We're all facing a decision, and we don't know which path to walk. There's some lingering decision right in front of us, or there's something confusing in our life right now. We don't know which way to turn. The question to ask then would be, where do I need wisdom right now? Where do you need wisdom in your life in this moment? And then, or another way of asking it, what new terrain are you stepping into? What's the new path in front of you? You've done this before, but now a whole new season of life is opening up before you. And it's new. You've never walked there before. So then who can you ask to share their wisdom? Who are the people that you look up to? Who are the people that you admire? People that have walked that path before you, who can lend their wisdom? Or what resources can help you grow your toolkit? There's some courses you can take, some books you can read, some different groups that you can sit in on. What's the wisdom that you currently need in this moment? I think it was last week that I mentioned this, but I often feel like the wisdom that we need, we don't get it because we don't ask for it. We don't seek it out. The beginning of wisdom, it starts by desire, by seeking it, by asking for it, praying for it. God, I need some wisdom here. Show me where can I look? Who can I go to? Who can I ask? How do we grow in wisdom? You get a bigger toolkit. You invite mentors into your life. You find the resources to help you make the best decisions for what it is that you are facing in life. Now, I mentioned last week that we're going to do, we'll celebrate Eucharist this morning. Amongst many other things, Jesus, he's looked at as a wisdom teacher. One component of who Jesus was is Jesus as a teacher. Jesus had a teaching technique called the parable. What's a parable? It's a confusing story that invites you in, that invites you to learn and to grow. It's a teaching technique that empowers you to make wise choices. Jesus would often give these parables and people would walk away because they were confused. I don't know what he's talking about. Do I answer a fool? Do I not answer a fool? Jesus would give these parables, and it was only those who were perceptive, discerning, observant, those who were willing to sit with the story a little bit, to inspect their life. Those were the ones who were able to glean from his teachings. Now, Jesus has this saying in Matthew chapter 11, which for me is a really, really important teaching of Jesus. I almost hesitated putting that quote from Ben Greenfield earlier about life being this confusing mess that you have to hack your way up to the top, because here's the invitation of Jesus. In the midst of all that, in the midst of all the confusion that life brings, all the uncertainty, Jesus offers to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Does anyone need some rest this morning? I could use some. Is anyone feeling burdened? like there's a heavy weight you're carrying around with you? Is anyone weary? You get out of bed and it's another day. How will I make it through this day? Jesus, he knows what it means to be human. He knows as humans, we often are burdened down with things that happen in life. So the offer is to take my yoke, take my teaching, my way of living upon you, and learn from me. Learn from my wisdom. Pause. Ask the questions. Inspect your soul. For I am gentle and humble in heart. There's a lot of teachers, and they're saying, if you would just do this, 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 and the list just keeps going on, and just hearing it, you're like, I got to do all of that, and then I will get to where I need to go. Well, here's the invitation of Jesus. I'm gentle and humble. And if you learn from me, from my simplicity, then you will find rest for your souls. For my teaching is easy and my burden is light. We're here this morning because we want to follow Jesus with our lives. We believe the way of Jesus is the best way to live. We believe the way of Jesus brings peace to our souls, provides comfort when we need it. Sometimes we find it difficult to believe, but deep down we believe that the way of Jesus removes all those heavy weights and burdens that we often carry. And sometimes we don't know how to get there. This morning, as we celebrate Eucharist, I want to invite each one of you to come forward, to take the bread, to take the cup, and as we do so, to simply ask, to humble ourselves, to come to Jesus, asking for the wisdom that we need in this moment, trusting that as we do so, we will be provided that which we need for the next step. Not 5 steps down the road, but the next step, and then the next. And maybe the wisdom simply is, hey, go and reach out to this person. Go talk with them. Ask them a couple of, maybe it's as simple as that. I think sometimes we complicate everything in life. I do this. Maybe you're like me in this. You make everything way too complicated. When Jesus is like, whoa, hold on a second. Everything will kind of work itself out. Let's just start with the next and then the next, because all these different steps and trying to figure out the next 10 to 15 to 20 and plan the next 30 years of your life, yeah, that's going to create anxiety and burdens and weight that you don't need. Let's just handle today. You know what we're about tomorrow? Tomorrow. So as you come forward, the invitation is to take all that you're carrying, all the uncertainty, any anxiety, any of the burdens that you have, lay it down at the cross, at the foot of Jesus, and then ask for the one thing that you need in this moment.